This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Everyone I know, they may not show it on the outside, but there's something. There is something that they struggle with. My most difficult patients are the ones who do not see that the problem is theirs. You will lose something in this process. There's something that has you continue to eat unhealthy foods. So when you're taking action, you are helping to form those synaptic connections in a way that no amount of thinking, contemplating, meditating, writing about can ever do. And I've come to realize that it is just the predicament of humanity, that everyone I know, they may not show it on the outside, but there's something. There is something that they struggle with. In fact, they may not even be aware of it, but there is something. So what do we do with that? Well, I have, over the years, presented at a talk on behavioral change. And there was just one time when I did a back of the napkin type of drawing of a simple framework for behavioral change that has really just continued to endure. And so every program for the last 5-6 years, I've shared this. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. And it was really based on timeless principles. There's not going to be anything new here. So it's 4 steps, okay? And the very first step is moving from this place of lack of awareness to awareness. This is arguably the most important step of the entire behavioral change framework. If you think, many of you have heard of 12 steps, right? Alcoholics Anonymous. What's the very first step? Admit that you have a problem. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Just think for a moment about the power of that statement. My most difficult patients are the ones who do not see that the problem is theirs. The problem's out there. The problem's my spouse. The problem's my kids who want to eat this. The problem's my work. They're looking everywhere but here. And so awareness is just an absolute quintessential step that without which you will not, in my mind, be able to make progress in a long-term, sustainable, meaningful way. You can't fix what you don't know is broken. The beauty of this is that it's not difficult to improve. It is a skill, it is a muscle that you build, but it begins simply by observation. I have patients literally just observe the course of their day and notice those times that they feel tight, those times that they feel constricted, those times that they feel tension, and notice what's going on. And without fail, over a couple of days of just honest noticing and observing. And I usually share my own struggles because that helps them feel like more comfortable. So saying, yeah, here's what I'm grappling with. And then starting to observe the impact of these patterns of behavior, these habits that they've done blindly or unconsciously for so long. Sometimes it helps with awareness to look back and identify what the triggers are, right? What was the antecedent event leading up to them feeling sad or stressed out? The beauty of awareness is that it improves intentionality. So even without committing to do anything about it, simply by noticing, as Viktor Frankl says, between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space is your power to choose. So simply by observing, sometimes it helps people to create that space and gives them a greater sense of empowerment and an ability to make a rational choice that is based on their values and priorities. And the thing I emphasize here is that with awareness, it's not a destination. It's not like you're aware, you're not aware, you're aware, you're not aware. It's a journey. I've come to appreciate that it's like an onion, and I have committed my life to just continuing to grow in awareness. Every day I'm seeing things that I wasn't aware of before that I'm now becoming increasingly aware of. And a huge teacher for that, by the way, is nature. You go out in nature and instead of just kind of being distracted in your thoughts, you start to notice things. You'll see things that you haven't seen before. Yesterday I saw a falcon. I've seen more falcons and hawks in the last year, and I don't think they're increasing in prevalence in my area. It's that now I'm pausing. If I hear a flutter of a wing or I hear a bird call, I stop and I pause and I just look instead of just walking by, and I'm seeing more. So that's the first step, awareness. So a good exercise for you just to think about, we don't have time to spend a lot of time with this, but I would encourage you, if you look at this wheel of health, is there one aspect of your health today that you are currently most interested in improving? That is an aspect of awareness, because people come into our program thinking, oh, I've got to get off this medication, or oh, I've got to change the way I eat. They leave realizing, I need to work on my work situation, or I need to deal with certain stressful circumstances within the home that I haven't been thinking about, and I haven't even been connecting with the way that I've been eating. So think about it for a moment, and just to yourself, imagine if there's one aspect of your health that you are currently most interested in improving. As you grow in your awareness of the various aspects of your health and maybe those areas that are causing you the most consternation or the most stress, usually one or two rises up to that level where, okay, this is what I want to be working on. This is the one that I want to do something about. And so that, the word I use to capture that is intention, right? It's not quite in the realm of taking action yet, but it's bubbling to the surface. It is that factor that bridges the gap between a desire to do something and actually taking action. And here, specificity is really helpful. There's a big difference I've found between patients who say, I want to start exercising more, versus those who actually put some specifics behind it, such as, I commit for the next 3 weeks to exercise for a minimum of 20 minutes a day. There's a saying that some attribute to Einstein, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different outcome. And yet that's oftentimes what we do, right? We engage in the same thing again and again without thinking. So I do encourage people when it comes to intention to incorporate past lessons. They've most likely had many attempts at dietary change, many attempts at incorporating physical movement that have failed. The only problem is that they haven't necessarily incorporated the lessons from those failed attempts. And so they just try and repeat the same thing. And it's like insanity. And then the last thing with intention is it's so important to connect with your why. Because what I've realized is in the moments of temptation, whether it's attempting food or whether it's sitting on the couch when you know you want to be exercising, the bottom line is that we are of two minds. There's the short-term gratification that wants what it wants and it wants it now. And then there's this longer term of, wow, what would be better for me? And so the more that people can be deeply connected to their values and priorities that they're after, their why, forgiving, because you will, this is why I tell patients, you will lose something in this process. There's something that has you continue to eat unhealthy foods, or there's something that has you continue to sit on the couch when you know you want to be exercising, or there's something that has me having my study in a state of disorganization when I know I would be happier. So I need to count the costs. I need to be very aware of what it is that has me continuing to do that, and then connect with my deeper why, because that deeper why is what can help guide your behavior in that moment of decision to a healthier level. And so if we took this exercise one step further, if you could identify a single baby step, and notice I use the word baby step, right? Because a lot of times in our impatience, we want the outcome and we want it now, right? But I try to help patients to have more realistic goals and take one tangible step that they can build momentum off of. So if you could identify a single baby step you could make in this area, either starting a new routine or breaking an old one, what would it be? Step three, remember, four steps, is taking action. Because a lot of us stay in the land of good intentions and never getting, as Dr. Sachs said, right, tomorrow. We'll start eating healthier, we'll start exercising, we'll start sleeping better tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes tomorrow again. And we just keep pushing it off. And so I like this phrase, getting on things on the court, right? Getting it on the court versus being in the stands as a spectator, just watching things and thinking about things and criticizing and judging. It's much different than getting on the court and playing the game. With the beauty of action is this concept of neuroplasticity. Donald Hebb, a Canadian neuropsychologist in 1949, is famous for this phrase, neurons that fire together, wire together. Right? Neurons that fire together, wire together. That can both work against you and for you. Right? Because that means, what that means is that old habits of ours that may not be our healthiest, those neural networks are really well formed. Right? Those neurons have been firing together for a long time. Stressed out, eat something really sweet or salty that can give me some momentary relief. That is a really well-established neural network that many patients have. And so the first time that you're trying to establish a new neural network, it's gonna feel like laying down new tracks if you've ever gone cross-country skiing, right? You can either follow the well-worn tracks or you can lay down new ones. It's always harder to lay down the new ones. But the idea is that each time you go down those cross-country tracks, it's getting that much more well-formed. And it's the same thing with our neurons. And that's the good news. So when you're taking action, you are helping to form those synaptic connections in a way that no amount of thinking, contemplating, meditating, writing about can ever do. And that leads to results. And results leads to a sense of momentum, a sense of confidence that builds this positive feedback loop. And I've really come to appreciate that there is no substitute for experiential learning. If you just start to notice, you will notice how much you hear others and yourself talk about doing something sometime, someday. There's no substitute for just getting it on the court, doing it, learning from it, failing, correcting, revising, amending, and doing it again. And that brings us to the last one, reflection. This is step four. And in a way, this is another aspect of awareness. It's just on the retrospective end. So whether it's one day, 1 hour, 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever time cycle you're looking at, you can always incorporate a piece of reflection on the back end of action. I mean, trust me, after this talk today, as I was finalizing my slides in the car at 12:05 p.m., I need to do reflection after to say, okay, how do I get it so that I can finish my slides the night before and be done with it and enjoy the peace that comes the day of the presentation? But the reflection piece is what gives me comfort. The reflection piece is what tells me, like, okay, there's something to learn out of this. And it's changing, quote, failure into this concept of a learning opportunity. How can I grow from this? That is one of the most difficult concepts for my patients to get because we are so outcomes focused, right? But if instead they can start to see, okay, what can I learn from this? Then that can be an incredible learning opportunity. And then the last concept with reflection is there's practice and then there's intentional practice. And I like this word practice because I want patients to just get comfortable with whatever skills they're trying to build, whether it's in the realm of eating or exercise, is they don't have to get it perfect, they're just practicing. So intentional practice, though, is where you're really being thoughtful about it, you're creating a plan, you're reflecting upon it, it's aligned with your values. It's not just doing the same thing again and again and expecting different results. What I like about this cycle is that it's iterative, right? So if people engage in this process of awareness, intention, action, reflection, ultimately, it leads to a new, deeper level of awareness. And from that place of deeper awareness, they can engage in a deeper intention, action, reflection, and so it repeats. And so I invite patients to do this in this endless loop that's not just about one and done, but is continuous. And the final piece of this is sort of a quality of being that I put at the center of this behavioral change framework, and that's self-compassion. Because there's a way of approaching behavioral change where, again, as I mentioned, when will I get to that weight? When will I get off these medications? When will my study be organized? When will I have my talk done prior to, you know, the night before? Where one's sense of self is contingent upon achieving that outcome. And that puts a lot of pressure on people and gives them this sense of conditional acceptance. But there's this quote that, her name's Sophia Bush, she's an actress and singer. She says, you can be both a masterpiece and a work in progress simultaneously. And really sort of inviting patients to embrace that concept of both being a masterpiece as they are right now, this moment, without qualification, as well as an invitation to engage in this continuous loop of improvement, of growth, of falling, getting back up again, I think is a huge act of self-compassion that can actually make any change they experience far more sustainable, far more long-term, and far more aligned with their true deepest priorities and values. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at UCTV.tv.